about the questions. So you have to get used to the teacher. That's part of the learning process, getting used to the teacher and his jargon. Any question? What's your question, Marilyn? Okay. Anybody else got a question about a question? All right, number one, let's see. We'll start with you, Nabal, back there in the back. We'll come this way up front. Naaman had the highest rank in all of Syria. What? You were supposed to be here last week. Well, then we'll forgive you. We'll forgive you if you don't let it happen again. You want to give Ori a friend of mine? They're back there. Right. No, Naaman was the captain of the host. He was general of the army, but he wasn't the king. So he was second in command, not first. So that was false. Number two, Desi, everything was going well for him until he became leprous.
That's true.
All right. Number three, the Israelites were a free and independent people. Good. Well, everybody put a star down for Mabel. Number three, the Israelites are free and independent people. Huh? No, that's false. They were under foreign rule. Fourth, the little maid was sure Elisha would heal Naaman. True. Remember, she took a chance because he never healed anybody before, but she was sure. She said that he would do it. There were many other lepers in the country besides Naaman. If one of the girls want to answer that, no, that's true. There were a lot of lepers in Israel besides Naaman, but Naaman was the only one that was healed. Six, the little maid suggested Naaman go to the prophet in Israel. Harold, did you get that one? Yes, she did. All right, number seven, the king provided Naaman sufficient funds to reward the prophet for his services. True, the king of Syria sent a letter to the king of Israel requesting that he heal Naaman of his leprosy. Melba? Huh?
True.
The king of Israel is more than happy to direct Naaman to the prophet. Now, it was false. He was false. Why wasn't he more than happy to do it? Huh?
He was aggravated over sending.
Right. And besides, they didn't get along. 10. In Israel, the prophet outranked the king. True. 11. In Syria, it was possible for the king to fire the prophet at his own pleasure. True. The king of Israel and the prophet of Israel did not see eye to eye. I've already answered that for you. No, they didn't. They fought because the prophet was always saying evil against him. 13. Elisha did not react appropriately when Naaman came to his door. Burn. What are you going to say? No, Lowell, since you asked the question.
Elijah did not react appropriately. He didn't act appropriately to Naaman, but you said in God's sight, right?
In God's sight, he did.
He gave him a message.
Yes.
How did he heal?
He did react.
He did react appropriately, yes. Yes. The answer should be false, right? 14, the instructions for Elijah for Naaman were simple enough that a child could understand it. Yes, true. Naaman's actions prove that he didn't really want to be rid of his leprosy. Roseanne?
Well, I think he really wanted to get rid of it, but that might sound false.
Right. It is false because he did want to get rid of it, didn't he? He's gone to a lot of trouble if he didn't want to get rid of it, but he forgot temporarily, didn't he? Because Naaman had preconceived ideas of how he'd be healed, he nearly missed his goal. True. Christians should help others come to their senses when they're about to do something foolish. Fred? True. Had Naaman dipped in the river at his home, he would have been healed, since water is water.
False.
Naaman's leprosy was a lot like our sin. True. How many got 100 today? Good, good. How many just missed one? Two. Three. Well, I caught you on three of them, didn't I? Okay. All right. Only in God's country. Only in God's country. You see, in Syria, they hired the prophet. Okay? Yes, they're false prophets, but they're hired, and therefore they can leave them or take them, whichever way they want to. We're studying in 2 Timothy 2:15 tonight, and all of us ought to know that verse, but I put it on the board so that you can look at it. I'd like to know who is the subject of this sentence. Matthew, who's the subject of this sentence? You. You. Paul is telling Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, you study. You is always understood when a sentence starts with a verb. You study to show yourself. That's why some people study, is to show themselves. But that isn't what he's talking about. To show yourself approved. It all has to go together. Approved to God. And how can I be approved to God? By being a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed or embarrassed or disappointed because he followed the wrong thing and rightly dividing the word of truth. Even the Bible can be wrongly divided or rightly divided. And I'll demonstrate that in just a moment here. Do you have any questions about this? Paul is saying to Timothy to study. That means to put forth a lot of effort to show that you know what you're talking about when it comes to dividing the word of truth, portioning it out to people, or dividing it up into the different dispensations that were true throughout the Bible. Now let's look at it this way. I'll have to draw you a little sketch in order to get a time frame. This is the timeline of the Bible. I think all of you have practiced this. We have studied the creation. We have studied Adam and Eve. We studied Cain and Abel. We studied Noah. We studied the first king of Israel, and we've also studied this man, Naaman. All of the action that took place from the book of Genesis clear up to the calling of the children of Israel. You see, before that, there wasn't any Jews or Gentiles. We were just people. And the Father was the head of the worship. He's the one that offered the sacrifices for his family. He's the one that offered the prayers, and he was the priest to God under the patriarchal law. Then along came Abraham. He was a good man, and God chose him to be the father of the nation of Israel. After Israel came out of Egyptian captivity, they went to the Mount Sinai, and God gave them the law of Moses. Does anyone know how long it was from the time of creation until God gave the Jews the law of Moses? 2,500 years. So we have 2,500 years in here under the patriarchal law. Now, the patriarchal law did not stop because there are a lot of people in the world that weren't Jews or descendants of Abraham. So we have the patriarchal law going right on, right beside the law of Moses. The law of Moses for the Jews, and at this time, the patriarchal law for the Gentiles, for everybody else in the world. Okay, any questions so far? We'll continue this line over here. We've got the Gentiles with the patriarchal law, and we got the Jews with the law of Moses. That continued on that way until what happened? Until Christ came. And Christ died. When Christ died, that fulfilled this law of Moses. And so God took it out of the way and gave us a new law. What's that law? The law of Christ. That's just for Jews now. The patriarchal law is still going on, just like it was. Just for the Jews. On the day of Pentecost, second chapter of Acts, when the church opened its doors, only Jews were invited to become members of the Lord's church. No Gentile was invited. About 7 years later, after the Jews had been in there about 7 years, then the Gentiles were invited at the household of Cornelius in Acts, the 10th chapter. That was about 7 years from the day of Pentecost until the Gentiles came in. All during this time, we might say that the law of Christ was in the baby stage because they had miraculous gifts. They had helps from God, directly from God, to make sure that they didn't make any mistakes in setting up the pattern for us. But we have one law to please God today, the law of Christ. And once those miracles stopped, then we came into the mature age. When did the miracle stop? What did you have to do to obtain the power to perform miracles, to heal, to talk in tongues, and all of this? How did I get that? Laying on of the hands of the apostles gave them miraculous powers to help the early congregations. That's the baby stage. But once the apostles had written down all that they were going to write, and that's where the Bible comes. Once the Bible is finished, then we no longer need those helps because you and I can see and read and tell what God wants us to do. So we're in the mature stage of the church now. And we will be until the end of time. This is the last time God is going to talk to man and tell him what it will take to please him. There's one point I want to make here, that Jesus lived his life back here under the law of Moses. He died under the law of Moses. He was raised under the law of Moses, and he went back to heaven while the law of Moses was still in effect. So don't let somebody take the life of Jesus and tell you that that's what we do today, because that isn't true. Everything that Jesus did, we don't have to do today, and I'll try attempt to prove that to you before we're finished this evening. He did everything to keep the law of Moses, and he kept it perfectly. This is why it was fulfilled in Jesus, and therefore he could say on the cross, "It is finished. It's done." Then after Christ went back to heaven, he received the kingship. He was crowned king, as we read in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Then he started to rule. God had given him all authority in heaven and earth before he ever went back to heaven, but he hadn't been crowned king. So the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost to celebrate Jesus' coronation in heaven. God promised him that if he came through this life without making a mistake, if he gave his life for the cause, then God would crown him king and would give us the Holy Spirit to help us live the Christian life. Peter said on that day that it was a fulfillment of the prophecy that God would pour out of his Spirit on all flesh, and your young men and your old men would dream dreams, your young men would have visions, and so on. The law of Christ then went into effect on the day of Pentecost. You remember that Jesus said to the apostles to go into Jerusalem and stay there until they were endued with power from on high, and then they could be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the pattern that it took. If you read the book of Acts, it started in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. It spread to Judea, then to Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the world. So we might say any church that started any other place than Jerusalem can't be the Lord's church. Because he said his church would start in Jerusalem. Any church that spread in a different pattern than this could not be the Lord's church. Now, it's one thing to say these things, another thing to prove it. So we're going to attempt to prove to you tonight, if we can, that Jesus worked back here under the law of Moses, that he kept the law of Moses. You remember that John came before Jesus. John, what did he preach? Anybody remember? What did John preach? John the Baptist, this is. All right, what did he tell them to do about it? Repent, and what else? Be baptized, what for? For remission of sins. For what kinds of sins? Who did he tell this to? Jews or Gentiles or both? Jews only. Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. See, Jesus wasn't sent to the world to talk to Gentiles. That was left to the apostles. He did talk to Gentiles occasionally, but he never opened the way to them. So John and Jesus both taught to repent of sins, telling just the Jews to repent of sins committed under the law of Moses. Now, they didn't tell them to repent of sins as a Christian, because nobody was a Christian then. They're merely introducing the law of Christ. You remember in Christ's Sermon on the Mount, he said, "You have heard it said by them of old time," and that was Moses, "Thou shalt not kill," for example. "But I say to you," you see, Jesus was introducing how he was going to change the law of Moses. It's still wrong to kill, isn't it? Yes, it's still wrong to kill, but he went a little bit farther and said, "If you hate your brother without a cause, you're a murderer in your heart." So he put it just a little bit farther back than the law of Moses did. I had to actually kill a man under the law of Moses to be breaking the law. I could hate him all day and all night and not be guilty of anything under the law of Moses. But under the law of Christ, if I hate my brother without a cause, then I'm a murderer in my heart, Jesus said. So he taught repentance and baptism, both. John did and Jesus did. Both of them taught repentance and baptism. And what did that make them? Did that make them a Christian, those people who repented and were baptized? No, it didn't make them a Christian. It made them godly, because that's what God asked them to do. But it didn't make them a Christian. They weren't Christ-like, because Jesus wasn't even Christ yet, was he, when he was teaching? He was Jesus of Nazareth. He became Christ when God anointed him and crowned him king. So they were godly people, ready for Jesus, ready for the kingdom when it came. The kingdom and the church are one and the same thing. When the church came, the kingdom came, because Christ began his rule. So they preached, "Get ready for the kingdom." Now we're going to attempt to prove this to you by showing you some scriptures. The first one we'll show you is in Mark, the first chapter. Mark 1, and 2. Mark, the first chapter, the second verse. "As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." We see that this, in these few verses, that John was just a temporary person. He referred to himself one time as a friend of the bridegroom. You know, in a wedding in Jesus' time, the friend of the bridegroom went and made all the arrangements, and then when they were all made, then he called the bridegroom to come to the wedding. He'd got the arrangements all made. Well, that's what John's job was, to get everything ready for Jesus when he came. So when Jesus came, he could take over from John. We'll see how he did that in a little bit here. He preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, how does what he preached, differ from what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost? When Peter said on the day of Pentecost over here, after the church was opened, and they're going to get into the kingdom, what did Peter say to the people on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2 and 38. When they said, "What shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent." Same as Jesus and John. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." What for? For the remission of sins, to get rid of sin. What did I leave out? All right, then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But I left something out, didn't I? In the name of Jesus Christ. Repent and be baptized in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus and John could not have preached that because Jesus had not become the Christ. He had not been anointed. He had not been crowned. He had no authority to tell anybody that they could get into the kingdom of heaven when God hadn't even opened the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven was opened after Jesus died. So in the name of Jesus Christ, and some Bibles say into the name of Jesus Christ, no one ever became a Christian by obeying John or Jesus, either one. They became a Christian when they became members of the Lord's body on the day of Pentecost or after that. Now let's look at Luke 1:13. I'm attempting to show you here in these verses that John preached one thing, but it wasn't what was preached after the kingdom was opened. Luke 1:13-17. Will someone read that, please? Now, who did the angel say that John would convert, John would turn back to God? Everybody? Huh? Many, but in the 16th verse, many who? Jews, just Jews. John never preached to Gentiles. He just turned the Jews back to the law of Moses, back to God. You see, he wasn't preaching anything new except baptism because they'd been told to repent of their sins before. But now he's saying the Messiah is coming. Get ready and wash away your sins. Get ready for him when he gets here. He's not here yet, but when he gets here, you be ready for him. And that's the way the Jew got ready for him. Now let's go to John, the first chapter, and the 19th verse. This is a record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then art thou, Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou a prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make way straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and behold, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man who is preferred before me, because he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. You see, John is saying here that he is not the Christ, he is not the one that's coming, he is not the important one, he is very unimportant in comparison with Jesus. Jesus was to be the Christ, not John. So today, those people who follow after John are following the wrong person. They're taking the bridegroom's friend instead of the bridegroom. And that's unfortunate. Now look at Matthew 3rd chapter. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, because it was Christ here. The Holy Spirit came on Christ when John baptized him so that John would know that this is the Messiah. Do you think John didn't know Jesus before? Sure, they were cousins. Sure, he knew him before. But he didn't know that he was the Messiah until God showed him. You remember when Jesus was baptized, and that's what we're getting to in the 3rd chapter of Matthew. When Jesus was baptized, he came to John. Why did he come to John, Marilyn? Was Jesus a Jew? Yes, Jesus was a Jew. Then if he was going to be a proper example to all the other Jews, he was going to preach after John quit preaching, so to speak, then he too had to be baptized. You remember John says, no, I won't baptize you. Yeah, I'm not worthy to baptize you. Well, it isn't a matter of being worthy when you baptize somebody. So Jesus told him, well, to suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. God had commanded Jesus to set an example for the Jew in his day of how he should obey God under the law of Moses. By obeying what God had said, he set that example. Now, he couldn't repent, could he? We've gone through this before. Jesus could not repent. He had nothing to repent of. But he could be baptized. And he was baptized. And do you know that God never recognized Jesus as his son until he was baptized? When he was baptized, then the heavens opened and a voice came saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Never before that. And so it is with us. God does not recognize us as sons and daughters of his until we are born of the water and the Spirit. We have to be born of both. Conceived of the Spirit and born of the water. Cast forth from the water. So Jesus himself had to be baptized. John needed to identify Jesus because Jesus was going to take his place, wasn't he? Here he was setting up the wedding, we might say, but he had to know who the bridegroom was, didn't he? He had to know who was getting married here. So God used this means of identifying Jesus to him, that he was the Messiah, indeed was the Messiah. Does that clear up your question? Any other questions? All right, now to the 3rd chapter of Matthew. We've already reviewed it a little bit, but I want to look at it just a moment here. Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized of him, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said to him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. He was in the water, completely buried in the water, and he came up out of the water. And the heavens were open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now go over to John, the 3rd chapter. John John knew that his time was going to come to an end, and it did. It came to an abrupt end, didn't it? When he said the wrong thing to King Herod and told him that he had no business with the woman he was living with, that she was another man's wife, he was tricked into prophesying against Herod, and therefore, you remember, Herod was tricked into giving John the Baptist's head on a charger, wasn't he? So they beheaded John, but John knew that would happen. He knew what was going to happen before it did happen. John 3:26. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. You see, when Jesus started preaching, then John knew that the time was close at hand, that he would be bowing out as the forerunner, because once the man has come, there's no point in having a forerunner, is there? He must increase, but I must decrease. And I want to skip down to 34. You can read the rest of that yourself if you want to. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit to him by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hands. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So John knew that even though he had lots of followers, you see, he started out with zero, and let's say he accomplished a lot. He did accomplish a lot. But he knew that his followers would decrease, because what's going to happen to them? They're all going to follow Jesus, aren't they? Because that's exactly what John taught, that when Jesus came, they should follow him, because he was greater than John was. Now I want to show you in Acts, the 19th chapter, Acts, the 19th chapter, to prove to you that the baptism of John came to an end. The baptism that Jesus preached came to an end, because it wasn't as good as the baptism that Peter preached. It did not put them into the kingdom of heaven. It merely got them ready to go in when the kingdom came. In Acts, the 19th chapter, we're way over here, over in this section of our timeline now. And here we find some people. Came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now he's talking about miraculous powers of the Holy Ghost. Have you received those? Here's a congregation of disciples. Do you have the miraculous powers to help you along? Paul is asking them. And they said to him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Why hadn't they heard that? He said to them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. You see, John never did promise anybody the gift of the Holy Ghost, nor miraculous powers of the Holy Ghost. Either one. Jesus did. Peter did, after the day of Pentecost. Remember, he said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was never said when Jesus was alive. It was never said when John was alive. That was strictly for the kingdom. So here are some people who heard what John said, and they believed that. They did repent. They were baptized, but they never heard about the Holy Spirit because John didn't preach that. Now let's notice what Paul did about it. Then said Paul, the fourth verse of the 19th chapter of Acts, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. You see, John's preaching was, Jesus is coming. The kingdom is coming. Get ready for it. Now, what's wrong with preaching that over here? Over in this section. Jesus has already come. We preach Jesus has come, don't we? We don't say Jesus is coming. Jesus has come to earth. He's already come. So they're out of time, aren't they? They're preaching something that was applicable before Jesus died, after he died. And they didn't get the promise. So when they heard that, they were baptized. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus. Into the name of the Lord Jesus. Did they become Christians then? Were they Christians before? Here's a naughty question. K-N-O-T-T-Y, not N-A-U-G-H-T-Y. Were they Christians before, Lowell? They thought they were, but they weren't. They had been told that Jesus was coming. Was that the truth? No, it wasn't. Not when they were told it. Jesus had already come. Hadn't he? Yes, when they were baptized the first time, they were baptized with John's baptism because Jesus was coming. But here it is, years after, Jesus has gone back to heaven. Is he coming again? Yes, he's coming again, but not to baptize people. Not to give them a plan of salvation. He's coming the next time as the judge, isn't he? So you see why they were out of step? They were preaching when Jesus had already come that he is coming. No, they weren't Christians. Why? Because when I'm baptized into Christ, when I go down into the water, I am not a Christian, am I? No, I'm not a Christian before I'm baptized. Because that's what being born again means, John said. That we conceive the Spirit. In other words, we believe what God said in his word. That Spirit and its life. We conceive that, and then we bring it forth when we are cast forth out of the water. I'm not a child until I'm born. Not a child of God. So, they were not Christians. They were merely good Jews. They were ready for the kingdom of heaven, and lo and behold, the kingdom of heaven's already here, and they missed it, didn't they? Lowell? Yes, there's lots of people who are disciples of Christ that are never Christians. Yes. But they weren't safe, were they? Why did Paul command them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus then? All right, they accepted it, and that's well and good. But Paul would not have commanded if it hadn't been necessary for them to be baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. See what I'm saying?
True, but what I'm saying is, if they had not heard about receiving the Holy Ghost, if they had not heard about this promise yet, then they would have been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And if they had done what they had heard was right.
They were good Jews. They were in the same position as the apostles were when they were baptized by John. All the apostles were baptized by John. But when Jesus came, they recognized him as the Messiah and they accepted him as the Messiah. And therefore, they were baptized into Christ, weren't they? They accepted what Christ had said.
You mean they were baptized the second time?
The apostles? No, I don't believe the apostles were baptized the second time because they obeyed John's baptism at the time Christ asked them to obey it. they received what they needed to receive at the time they were baptized. See, they were baptized looking forward to Christ. We're baptized looking backward to Christ, aren't we? Well, they kept the law of Moses, yes, but then they had to keep the law of Christ after the day of Pentecost.
Yes, but they didn't have to be baptized again.
No, they didn't have to be baptized again.
Then they were actually living still living under the old law, right?
No, not right, because this is what the baptism did. You see, baptism of a Jew, if I was a good Jew and I was coming along, yeah, let's say I wasn't a good Jew because I had to repent. That's what Jesus said in John both. So I repented of that sin. I did what God said to get rid of that sin, didn't I? I was baptized. That cut me off from the law of Moses at that time. In prospect, when Jesus died, then I was completely cut off from the law of Moses. Because there can't be two laws at the same time. And I said by being baptized, whenever Jesus comes and he opens the doors for me, I'll go in. That's what the apostles did, wasn't it? They were baptized under John, believing that Jesus was the Messiah. Therefore, when God poured out his Spirit, he poured it out on the apostles, didn't he?
So did those people receive
the Holy
Spirit?
What people?
Under
John? Did they receive it when?
Did they receive it if they wasn't rebaptized again under Christ?
They wouldn't have needed to be rebaptized under Christ because they were that's the reason for their baptism in the first place, was that Christ was coming. Yes? Yeah, this group here was baptized again because they were baptized after Jesus had been put on the throne. See, they couldn't be baptized looking forward to Jesus being put on the throne when he was already there, could they? You follow me? That's why Paul requested they be baptized again. Let me illustrate it this way, if I can. Here is a person who obeyed John or Jesus, either one. And these were just Jews, weren't they? What did they do? They repented of their sins under the law of Moses and were baptized with the idea in mind that Jesus would come and wash away their sins and would give them the gift of the Holy Ghost. Even John told them, I baptize you with water, but he that comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So he promised them something better if they believed in Jesus. Now Jesus dies on the cross. Okay? Those people, because they were baptized to separate them from the old law of Moses and put them into Christ, so to speak, then they did not need to be baptized again after the day of Pentecost because they were already. They'd already been obedient to all that God told them to do up to that point, hadn't they? Now, the people on the day of Pentecost, when Peter told them to repent, what were they going to repent of? What kind of sins? How did they know what was sinful? By the law of Moses, didn't they? They repented of any sin they had done under the law of Moses. One of them was killing Christ, an innocent man. Peter brought to their attention that they'd killed him and they ought to repent of that. And then to be baptized, but this time in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because Jesus had already been put on the throne, hadn't he? He hadn't been back here. I was baptized believing that Jesus would be put on the throne. Here I'm being baptized because I believe Jesus was put on the throne. And I get remission of sins here, and I also get the gift of the Holy Spirit here. That was never promised back here. Why wasn't it? Because God didn't promise that he would pour out his Spirit until Jesus was crowned king. He wouldn't pour out his Spirit on all kinds of people. He did pour out his Spirit. How do I know that? John the Baptist was baptized, received the Holy Ghost from the time he was conceived, didn't he? John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit, but God didn't give a wide distribution of gifts to men like he did after Pentecost. Any other questions, Lowell? They were not. They didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, same as we do at baptism. Yes.
Because they had been baptized before, you're saying they got that just to get the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost.
Let me reason with you why. The apostles received certain powers before the day of Pentecost, didn't they? They could heal. They could cast out devils. They could do many things, but they didn't receive the baptism of the Spirit until after the day of Pentecost. There's no reason to believe that people did not receive the gift of the Spirit when they were at the day of Pentecost. But we have no record of it because all God is recording on the day of Pentecost is what happened to the apostles. How do I know that?